The word of wisdom is an anointing of the Holy Spirit that comes upon you in a particular time of need and gives you the right words to say. The word of wisdom.
Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I would be set free. All that you've done for me.
On this Friday broadcast of Abounding Grace, our teacher Ed Taylor is going to continue our look at 1 Corinthians with part 3 of our lesson titled Manifestations of the Spirit, Word of Wisdom. If you want to be filled with the joy of the Holy Spirit, you must deal with your problems. But self-help is not enough. The obstacles that hinder our lives can only be removed by a consistent focus on Jesus Christ. Our help comes from the Lord, the cornerstone of our faith, our rock, the foundation that cannot be moved. And the Holy Spirit is available to speak to us in every circumstance of our lives. Now, let's join Pastor Ed as our spirits are lifted in God's abounding grace.
Is it lawful for us to pay taxes to Caesar or not? And he perceived their craftiness and said to them, "Why do you test me? Show me a denarius. Whose image and inscription does it have?" And they answered and said, "Caesar's." And he said to them, "Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." And they couldn't catch him in his words in the presence of the people. And they marveled at his answer and kept silent. Let me show you another one. Chapter 20, verse 27. Then some of the Sadducees, who deny that there's a resurrection, came to him and asked him, "Teacher, Moses wrote to us that if a man's brother dies having a wife, he dies without children, his brother should take his wife and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were seven brothers, and the first took a wife and died without children. And the second took her as a wife, and he died childless. Then the third took her," and you're wondering, why did 4, 5, 6, and 7 follow? But they did. And so they all went through, and they'd make up this weird, silly example, because they don't believe in the resurrection. All they want to do is trap Jesus. And they make up a silly, unbelievable situation that hasn't happened. And they all die. And the question is, last of all, the woman died also, verse 32. "Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife does she become? For all seven had her as his wife." And then there's that wisdom that's given from verses 34 through the end there. As he answers and he says, "Hey, I'm not going to get into all that, what you guys described. I'm going to teach you about eternity." And he had a word of wisdom, so much so that in verse 40, notice, after that, they dared not question him anymore. He just put an end to it as the wisdom fell upon him. In John chapter 8, you can jot it down. It's another manifestation of wisdom, a word of wisdom in Jesus' life. That woman, remember, is caught in adultery. She's caught in the very act, and then brought in the midst of her sinful act right to the presence of Jesus. Not the man, but just her. And instead of speaking a word of wisdom, you got to love Jesus, he doesn't speak a word of wisdom. You know, you remember what he does. He starts to write a word of wisdom. We don't know what he wrote. Whatever he wrote cut to the heart and ended everything there. And they all went away. Turn over to Acts chapter 4. Let me show you another one. In the early church, Peter. We've seen this as we studied through the book of Acts. Peter is before the authorities under great pressure not to preach the gospel anymore. You can't do it. And the Spirit gives him a powerful word of wisdom. Notice in verse 17, "But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them that from now on they speak to no man in this name." And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, And this is the word of wisdom. This was their answer. Whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And then they threaten them some more and then let them go. Because the people were glorifying God. They couldn't find a way to punish them. It diffuses the whole situation. It was a little threatening, but then they're let go. Turn over to chapter 6 of Acts. All by way of review, the early church has taken off. It's growing. They are at the point of growing into the thousands already. And in the rapid growth of the early church, there is a problem with the widows. And as the problem comes to the leadership of the church, the 12, it says in verse 2, summoned the multitude and said, it is not desirable. This is a word of wisdom. It's not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. That almost sounds like, no, wait a minute. You guys are the leaders. You got to take care of this. Like, what do you mean you're not going to help us? We need help. Look at the widows. Look at the murmuring and the gossip. We need your help. And it was a word of wisdom. It's not desirable. It's not a good thing for us to leave what God's called us to do. And then notice it's further. Therefore, brethren, you guys seek out from among you. This had never been done before. That's what's so powerful about the word of wisdom. This solution to find these seven men, of which Stephen, you know, is a part of, and Philip, you find these guys, as they seek out these men from among them, this has never been done. This is a brand new, fresh work of the Spirit. And as they seek them around, then they appointed them, they prayed over them, and they took care of the needs of the widows, while the apostles were able to take care of the needs of the study of the Word of God in prayer, and together the body, the Holy Spirit, was working in the church body so that everyone was working together. And the situation, diffused, taken care of. One more, let me show you another one in Acts 15. Big problems have now come into the church by the time we get to Acts 15. And now there's a huge battle. It's no longer just murmuring and complaining. The huge battle when we come to Acts 15 is the battle between those that adhered to grace and those that adhered to works. Those that were holding on to the rites and the rituals of Judaism and those that were saying, hey, look, God is doing something awesome here, saving the Gentiles. It was so big that they brought the concerns to the council here in Acts 15. And in Acts 15, verse 18, notice, after everyone had their say, it says, known to God from eternity are all his works. Therefore, I judge that we should not trouble those from among the Gentiles who are turning to God. That was a word of wisdom. It would have been very easy to be pressured by all of the people that were there. I don't know if you've ever been under intense pressure to make a decision, but it can really cause you to make the wrong decision. Because you feel pressure. You feel, you know, that's why high-pressure sales tactics, they put the pressure on to get a decision, you get a decision. And there was pressure in the early church. If this decision would have went the other way, it would have been really bad. It would have put the church back a little bit. And the Holy Spirit came upon James as they come together. And this word of wisdom diffuses the whole situation. And this word of wisdom, the manifestation of the Spirit, is still happening today. You can look at your primary gifting and you can see how God will give you a specific word of wisdom, how you can serve better with your gifting. You know, maybe you have the gift of administration and you're wrestling with a problem. You can't find out. The numbers aren't seeming to match. And the Lord gives you a word of wisdom. Check the invoices over here in this folder somewhere. And you're like, why would I? You know, you're battling with the Lord. The Lord just told you. He just hooked you up with the answer. You've been struggling all day. And go up back into the storage and find box number 10 over on the 16th row. And the answer's in there. You go, no, I'm not going to go check the box. I'm going to figure it out. And then you try it another day. And the Lord just gives you, here's a word. Here's the answer. Go check the box. And as you check the box, it saves you. You know, everything's. And then you got like, oh, man, I spent 2 days trying to figure this out. When the Lord gave me a word of wisdom. When you are teaching the Word of God, you're gifting with the gifted of with the gifting of teaching, and you're teaching the Word of God. Oftentimes, a word of wisdom will be spoken. It's like for instance, for me, there is my notes here. I got things that I prepared, but there are a lot of things that I've said tonight that I have nowhere in my notes. And some of you are going to walk away just like, man, the Lord really spoke to me. Why? Because the Lord is operating in the gift of the Word of wisdom even right now. Just flowing through. And the examples that I come up with, you're like, that is so bizarre. And sometimes they are. It's like, yeah, and you're making it up and it ain't making any sense. But perhaps to someone on the radio in the middle of a farm in Texas, that's exactly what God had for him. And it doesn't apply to any of us right now. But there's this guy on the other end of the country that picked up a CD that you sent. You know, you sent the CD to your mom, but it got delivered to the guy on the other side of the block. And they're like, well, what am I listening to this? And he puts it in his, and that word, just that little word of wisdom spoke to him because the Lord had it all planned out from the pulpit, from the ministry. You parents, you often operate in a word of wisdom with your kids. You got two kids, you know, siblings fighting and throwing things at each other. And it's always the other one's fault. But the Lord hooks you up. And you, it's him. And then you go, it's you. Oh, I know. How did you know? But this is the word of wisdom. I like to tell the kids, if you don't tell me, the Lord's going to tell me. Because he will. He'll reveal those things. You know, those of you that have older kids may not be walking with the Lord. You may be wondering what they're doing at college, what they're doing in the high school classroom, what they're doing. You know what? God can give you a word of wisdom to know exactly what they're doing in order to minister to them as your parent, as their parent. You can trust the Lord. God will reveal to you what he wants to reveal to you when you need to know. And you'll have wisdom on how to apply the answer in someone's life. He'll give you the wisdom not only what to say, but also how to say it. I think oftentimes we have the knowledge of what to say, but how to say it's sort of tough. How do I go about this? That's at a point where you can ask the Lord, Lord, give me a word of wisdom. I pray that it would be your will. God, just bring, please, I need wisdom from you. That's, according to James, you can ask God for wisdom. And the Bible says that he gives liberally without reproach. Now, doesn't that bring comfort to you to know that you don't have to have everything figured out, that God has it figured out? That you could leave here with some freedom, that God, he loves you so much that he'll hook you up with the wisdom that you need when you need it. And if you don't have it right now, you don't need to doubt the Lord. You just need to trust him. If you're not entirely sure, a lot of times a word of wisdom will come up when you've been looking for work all this time and looking for work and it's just dry, and now two jobs come up. Lord, what's going on? God will give you wisdom which one to go. That's when you don't want to figure it all out. You want to wait on the Lord. You're caught between two major decisions. And either way is really not going to be sinful. But you really want the Lord's will. You begin to ask for that word of wisdom. And he comes along to enhance your life and your spiritual gifting. See, you don't walk around. There's nobody right now listening in on the radio or on the internet. No one in this room, no one downstairs that walks around completely with the word of wisdom 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If anyone tells you that, they're not telling you the truth. That is not the word of wisdom. Even though God might even use them to bring a word of words of wisdom into your life, you don't have, this isn't something you just carry around in your pocket. Pull out any time that you want. This is something that God gives to you in the moment. And it happens. The thing about the word of wisdom that really encourages me is that it often happens so naturally that you don't even realize it. It's not always, whoa, where did that come from? A lot of times you're just talking to somebody, you end with prayer, you guys go on your merry way, and they call you a couple days, hey, you know what? What you said the other day just really cleared it up for me. And you're like, really? That's what I'll say. Somebody will go, hey, you know Ed, what you said the other day? And a lot of times I'll say, what did I say? I'd like to know. That's really cool. That's really neat that the Lord would use me like that. And although I don't remember what I said, the Holy Spirit, he knows what you need when you need it. And this does away with, and as you'll see, as we look at the manifestations of the Spirit, you'll see it does away with this whole human-centered self-centeredness. We looked at this Lone Ranger mentality, life of living for Jesus, doing our own thing, our own way, and then being frustrated when we can't pull it off. Like you've made your goal and you've made your commitment and you've fallen. And then right there, the enemy's right there. He's right on your heels. See, you're no good. You can't do it. The answer, of course, is you're right. There's none righteous, no, not one. I can't do it. But because you took upon yourself in your own human strength and your own fleshly wisdom, because you had it all figured out, but you know, you didn't really have it all figured out because you didn't hear from the Lord. And you attempted to go out and you fell on your face, and because it was all on you, you took the weight upon yourself, and now you're beating yourself up and you're condemning yourself, and you're like, hey, if you lean on the Holy Spirit, then whatever wisdom He gives, you know that as He gives wisdom, wherever that wisdom leads you is exactly where the Lord has you. And it's one more ingredient of the grace of God. And I encourage you, as you look forward to the following weeks here, and we're looking at each of the manifestations, go ahead and read ahead. Look up that word in a concordance and see where it might be used in other places in the New Testament. See where it might manifest itself. As we look in back in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we move on in our next time together. We'll move on from the word of wisdom through the Spirit to another is given the word of knowledge. And we'll see how it's different from the word of wisdom. So you can just look at the word of knowledge as God gives a supernatural knowledge where you know something that there's no way in the world you could have possibly known that. But God gives it to you. And we'll look at that in depth the next time. Lord, thank you again for the sweetness of learning, just the simplicity of these manifestations of the Spirit. The word of wisdom. Certainly, I believe that you have used the word of wisdom here tonight to speak forth wisdom into people's lives. As we talk about the things of the Spirit, we are open now to be used by the Spirit. And I pray that we are walking more and more in this word of wisdom. We don't need Ed Taylor's opinion or her opinion or his opinion. We need your wisdom, Lord, to walk in your wisdom, to live in your wisdom, to share your wisdom, to see our giftings enhanced on how to use the giftings that you've given to us. So thank you showing us what this looks like. How we could just be in the midst of some trap and you just give us a word and it just takes care of it all. We're just able to, in humility, present ourselves to you. And your Bible says, God, you promise us that you give grace to the humble, but you resist the proud. And I know what that's like. And God, I don't want to be resisted by you. I want to flow in your Spirit. And may we not be living our lives just resisting and pushing and trying to get our way, but simply, God, resting in you, humble before you, open to the manifestations of your Spirit. Now, for those that would draw near into a church setting like this, to a group of people worshiping you, and they're just looking in from the outside, I believe that you have called. There are those that are appointed unto salvation before us. Maybe you spoke a word of wisdom through a brother or sister in their life this week, and here they are, tripping out on how faithful you are to explain their life to them, delivering them from sin. Perhaps among us there are backslidden. Just, you know, they haven't been walking with you, Lord. They haven't been living for you. They can't say with authority that they've been abiding in you, keeping themselves in your love. But you love them so much. Your heart's desire is to be in community and communion with them. God, I just pray you'd be drawing people to yourself during this time of worship. We partake of the elements. We receive, Lord, that beautiful, wonderful touch of your Spirit. God is calling you back. You know, you could call it whatever you want. You could call it backsliding. The Bible uses that word. You could call it straying away. But the Holy Spirit has called you back. I just want you to come. I want you to obey. I mean, it really doesn't matter what I want. I think on behalf of Jesus, that's what He wants. I mean, you could be out on the internet right now and just, you're not here, but you really are here because your heart's longing to be in communion with Jesus. Maybe there's some decisions you need to make, some changes, repentance. And if you're here today and you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, you've never had your sins forgiven, then by all means receive the gift of salvation by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not by anything that you've done. As a matter of fact, everything you've done has not been accepted by God. But He has accepted the sacrifice of Jesus on your behalf. And if you'll place your faith in Jesus through His death and resurrection, you will become alive spiritually. And whether you're maybe a backslider coming home or someone that's just believing in Jesus Christ for the first time, would you stand to your feet? And I want to pray with you. I'm going to give you a chance to publicly acknowledge your desire to return. And that night, that, you know, this is that time of rededication. Here you go. This is the timing of the Lord right here. This is what God's wanting to do. He's wanting to give you the opportunity to publicly, before your friends and family, your brothers, hey, come back. Don't worry about what people think. It's time to come. The Lord would just pour out His Spirit upon you. He loves you. He wants to help. He wants to soften. He wants to embrace you. He wants you melted by His love. He wants you to cry again. Those of you that haven't been crying, you haven't been expressing emotion, He wants to open up that channel of emotion in your life. He wants to soften you up. Maybe you're going to cry out to God for the very first time tonight. Great. Just tell God that you repent of your sins. You want the free gift of salvation. You can just pray to Him. Believe. Tell Him you believe that what Jesus done is done in your life. You believe that He died and rose again. You believe that He has given His life for you, His exchange. Maybe you need to come back because what's happening in your life is it's jacking your marriage up. Like, why? Why keep going that way? Stop. Stop and come back and let the Lord do a work. Lord, You know the hearts of those that are just drawing near to You, and You know the people that are fighting right now, and You love them still. And so just in that rededicating heart, Lord, that salvific heart of people crying out to You, all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And may it be genuine and may it be real. And in that, we were reminded today, God, in that story of the prodigal, there was always that older brother not happy because somebody came back. And I pray we're not that older brother. We're not going to be standing in judgment on people. We just want to love on people and bring them to You. Let them enjoy the embrace of their Abba Daddy. And so we offer ourselves to You, Lord. We pray that truly in this time, Your Holy Spirit would be made known. So we worship You in this time, just allowing Your Spirit to minister to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Manifestations of the Spirit, Word of Wisdom, has been the title of Pastor Ed's message from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and you may want to review the principles that he's covered today from our text. If you'd like to get your own personal copy, it's available on an audio CD. Write to Abounding Grace at P.O. Box 460-598, Aurora, Colorado 80046. Again, that's Post Office Box 460-598, Aurora, Colorado 80046. Ask for CD number 4624. Again, that's lesson number 4624. The cost is $2 for each audio CD, and that price does include shipping. Any additional amount you send goes to provide resources for those who may not be able to purchase them. Also, if you're into MP3 devices and use MP3 audio files, we'd like to offer an MP3 disc of the entire 1 Corinthians series free of charge. Boy, that's a deal. Again, this free disc is an MP3 disc, not an audio CD. If you'd like to play shorter by phone, contact Abounding Grace toll-free at 877-30-GRACE. Again, it's 877-304-7223. Well, for those of you living in the Denver metro area, we'd love to have you join us this weekend. We have a Saturday evening service, which begins at 6 p.m., and you can also join us Sunday morning as well. You can choose to attend either the 8:45 or 10:45 a.m. service. For directions and more information, give us a call at the church office. Our local number is area code 303-628-7200. Or check out the Click for Directions link on our website. It's right there on the homepage under locations at calvaryaurora.org. We also broadcast our services live on the internet. So no matter where you live in this great nation or worldwide, you can be a part of our worship family. For more information, just log on to calvaryaurora.org. Again, for all the details, click in at calvaryaurora.org. Be with us again on Monday as we continue to look at the manifestations of the Spirit when we'll focus on Word of Knowledge. We pray that you've been blessed today, and we'll see you next time as you continue to walk in God's abounding grace.
This is amazing grace.
This program is presented by Calvary Chapel of Aurora.